Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich and the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also send us text to that same number, 312-981-7200. You can check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. You can like us on Facebook, which is actually the best way to stay connected. It's interactive. It's happening all the time. And you can communicate there and leave your comments there as well. That's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like us right now, Facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right. If you're a regular listener of this show for the many years that I've been on WGN, and you know that I am indeed a huge pro wrestling fan, and I have been I have been my whole life. I don't watch it as religiously as I used to. I do watch it. I keep up with what's going on in the WWE, and I look at some of the other shows as well. But my old buddy Keith Lipinski, who is a producer for AAW, The Art of War. The next event is The Art of War for AAW, and it's going to be on February 19th in Marionette Park. And Keith is a wrestling expert, behind-the-scenes guy, has worked on pro wrestling shows, is part of this event, too, as well. And he's a producer for the AAW. And in general, he's just a pro wrestling fan and an expert. And every once in a while, we bring Keith on just to catch up on what's happening. And there's a lot of stuff going on in wrestling right now, a lot of stuff in WWE and other associations as well. And it's always cool to welcome Keith to the show. Keith, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Nick. Yeah. I appreciate being noted as an expert 3 or 4 times in that introduction. So, you know, it definitely stresses that aspect.
Yeah, well, you are. You are. You are an expert in the field. Let's real quickly, for those people who might not have heard you on the show before, a little background on how you got into wrestling and all that stuff.
I grew up a fan. When it was a Friday night, I think I was in 4th or 5th grade, and I woke up around 2:30 in the morning to use the bathroom, couldn't fall back asleep, turn on the old television in the old TV room in the house on Winona Street in Berwyn, and watched a little wrestling challenge. And it was probably 1987, and it was the Andre the Giant turn on Hulk Hogan, ripping the crucifix from Hogan's neck and challenge him for the main event at WrestleMania.
Wow, that's a big moment.
It was. It was cool because they showed everything leading up to that as well. So it was something where, you know, I had seen wrestling from time to time, but I never really became a fan until that moment. Mm-hmm. So,
and then your connection with wrestling, I mean, obviously you started as a fan, you watched it, you were a fan. When did you become involved in wrestling on any level?
Let me think about this for a second. It was probably 2004. I wrote for a number of different wrestling publications, including Pro Wrestling Torch, PW Torch Online, and then also for the Figure Four Weekly, WrestlingObserver.com. And I started a podcast, and from that podcast, it was called the Pro Wrestling Power Hour, and it focused mainly on Japanese pro wrestling. And I was a little bit more interested in the American independent scene, so I started my own show, the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. Yeah, crazy morning wrestling zoo. Shortly after that, and ran that for a few years until '99. During that time, I also worked on a TV show for MTV called Wrestling Society X that was on for one season, i.e., 5 times. And
I saw every episode of it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great show.
It's something. Sometimes I watch this Lucha Underground show, which I don't know if you've watched
yet,
or not, Nick.
Yep.
But it's a tremendous show. That reminds me of what WSX could have been if we would have, you know, had an hour to build and had were on the network that supported us.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, it was ahead of its time, and I want to get into Lucha Underground in a little bit because I think that show is terrific.
It's probably the best show on TV today.
It's tremendous, and I want to get to that in a little bit. So you were writing, you've observed, you've been. How many WrestleManias have you been to?
I think 4 or 5.
Wow,
seems like I would do the traveling the last few years just to go to the other shows around there because there's such a mass of wrestling fans there that can sit there and go to like 4 or 5 different great independent shows that weekend as well and then see the big show on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Now, how many independent – is there – I mean, are there still a lot of independent wrestling organizations operating throughout the country?
There's a bunch of, you know, there's your small time guys, there's your bigger time guys, there's companies that maybe bring in like a big name from the past. It's like, hey, here's Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Rikishi coming to your town, along with 28 other guys that you might not know that probably aren't that good.
Yeah,
you know, and I, you know, there's a lot of independent wrestling is still thriving this day and age, and a lot of that's due to the fact. And we're going to be talking about this guy's name shortly, a guy by the name of Daniel Bryan, who recently retired, announced his retirement this year.
Yeah.
He was a big independent wrestling guy. Like, his favorite thing was wrestling. I mean, don't get me wrong, he main evented WrestleMania and such. But, I mean, I personally saw Bryan Danielson wrestle in front of, you know, 150 people and 200 people and such on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And the independent scene is definitely alive and thriving in Chicago. There's AAW, the company that I work for at AAWWrestling.com, where we've been doing really, really good over the last year and a half or so, putting together some really good shows. You mentioned the show that we have next Friday night at 115 Bourbon Street in lovely Marionette Park. But we're also running in Berwyn, our former home base, in March. And then on April 9th, we're running the Logan Square Auditorium again.
Oh, that's, yeah, we talked about that the last time, not the last time you were on. But you worked at the Logan's. That place has got to be a blast when you fill that place up.
It's without a doubt my favorite place to run shows in Chicago. I wish it was like maybe 200 seats bigger. But, yeah. I mean, that place just has such an awesome vibe and aura. We also had some guys from Lucha Underground there, Pentagon Jr. and also Phoenix. So it really was one of the most probably special wrestling shows that I've ever been part of.
Well, let's talk about AAW. Give me the background on AAW, and then we can talk about the next event on the 19th. So tell me about AAW.
AAW is a company now that's been around 12 or 13 years. It was originally started in Berwyn, as I mentioned before. And AAW is, in some ways, it's very reminiscent of the old ECW, where there are no countouts, there's no disqualifications. The only way a match can sort of get thrown up is if someone hits the ref, and if someone hits the ref, they're then gone for the next show. So it's sort of a, you know, it's a company that really believes in, you know, having decisive finishes and the like. It's a lot of fun. We're known right now for having a lot of big name independent talent, like a guy like Sammy Callahan, who was in the WWE developmental system, got released in November, or asked for his release in November, and then showed up on our show a few days later, and it was a huge surprise. And he'll be facing our heavyweight champion, Eddie Kingston, who's sort of, I would say, sort of a modern-day Eddie Gilbert or Terry Funk. He's been around the independent scene for such a long time, and he just has an aura and he has a realness to him. And that's the main event on our next event, which is going to be February.
Yeah, 19th. Yeah.
Yeah.
And who are some of the other guys that you have on your roster?
We have a guy by the name of A.R. Fox. And the best way I can describe A.R. Fox is, imagine Rob Van Dam if he did a lot of more stuff off the top rope.
What?
He's just a crazy, crazy guy. Just a whole lot of fun to watch. I mean, he idolizes Van Dam, so that might have something to do with it.
All right, so that's A.R. Fox. And who else do you guys have on the roster? Tell me a little bit more.
We have, without a doubt, the top of the line in independent wrestling talent, Nick. We have great guys like Trevor Lee, who's actually recently been on Impact. He's been on our last few shows, and he's just an outstanding young talent to watch. There's a lot of good guys that we have. We have a tag team called the Hooligans and their manager by the name of Buck Nasty. And Buck Nasty is just a little swarmy. I don't want to really call him a troll because I think he's full of talent. But the Hooligans are basically outlaws wearing big overalls and huge beards. They're just sort of a throwback to like a Samoans, but done wild style. So, yeah, we really have.
Yep.
We have guys that have been on the next show, like Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. I mean, when it comes to independent wrestling, people look at AAW and the talent that we have and usually get quite impressed.
Yeah. Well, that's great, man. It sounds great. Now, you mentioned the manager, and that's kind of an art form that's been lost in pro wrestling. Don't you think, Keith? There aren't as many great managers as there used to be.
That's true. I mean, I think because partly they want people to sort of talk for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain cases, though, where the manager just can be really, really good. Like ROH, Ring of Honor, based in Philadelphia, or actually Baltimore now, has some really good managers. And I think it's helpful just because the art's not there as much anymore. You know, back in the day, the manager was able to say the things that the guy wasn't able to get. Or if you had a new guy coming into the territory, you could pair him up with a manager, and all of a sudden that's instant, you know, boo this guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it works really well. With Heyman and Brock Lesnar.
Right.
You know, because Brock Lesnar.
Other than that, think about any other managers in the WWE right
they're
now.
Not, like, they're just not there. No, I know.
Right.
I know. It's too bad because I used to love those. I used to love the managers. They were some, you know, like a guy like Bobby the Brain Heenan. Nobody could top Heenan. He was the best.
He was fantastic. Him and Jim Cornette both were outstanding managers. Paul Heyman, I was watching like a Best of the Dangerous Alliance DVD set that I had, and he was really, really, really good. And, you know, people only put him up in that higher manager echelon, like as being, you know, Brock Lesnar's advocate. But he was really, really good in like 1991, 1992 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was always great on the mic, man. You know, I mean, even, you know, when in the early days when I started watching ECW, Paulie Dangerously, man, that was great stuff. Just great stuff. I mean, you know.
It was.
Yeah, he's a pro. So you're looking forward to this. Now, tell everybody how they can get tickets. It's Friday, February 19th, at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park.
The best way to get tickets, Nick, is to go to AAWrestling.com to get tickets right there, you know, and also tickets will be available at the door on the night of the show.
Okay.
So
AAWrestling.com. We have a link on our Facebook page so people can go directly to it. It's Facebook.com/NickDShow. Tickets
people
are available.
Check it out, Nick, because I mean, this is without a doubt the best independent pro wrestling in Chicago today.
Okay.
You know, like a lot of guys, like for instance, you were mentioning guys that were here. Some of the guys that came from AEW Wrestling, one of them became Seth Rollins.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's something to, you know, we have launched careers of guys that have gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
And we're doing that right now. Two
right.
of our guys, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, are on the next program for the WWE. Mm. So it's there's a lot of great talent right now.
Yeah, and if you really want to see some good, you know, young guys doing the wrestling thing, this is a great way to do it. And there's nothing like going to a live show. You know, it's just great. So, okay, the doors open at 7:15. It's an all-ages event. The bell time is at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great lineup, and that's the tickets are on sale right now. You can check out AAWrestling.com. Okay, Keith, hang on. We're going to talk more wrestling, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, cool. There's Keith Lipinski, and he is joining me to talk pro wrestling, and he is a producer for AAW. And check out their Art of War event February 19th, and get your tickets now at AAWrestling.com. Okay, more wrestling talk coming up right here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Back here in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. And we are talking with Keith Lipinski. Keith Lipinski is a producer for AAW, AAWrestling.com. They've got an event coming up on February 19th, next Friday, in Marionette Park. And some great pro wrestling that are happening there. And we're going to talk pro wrestling in general. All right, Keith, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, before we get back, because, you know, you haven't been on the show in a while. Lots of stuff has happened in the world of wrestling. Since then, but the latest story, and I want to get into that and many other things. The latest story is the Titus O'Neil thing. Now, I watched Raw on Monday, as I think my guess would be that it might have been one of the highest rated Raws of the year, or in a very long time, because Daniel Bryan, you know, was going to retire, and it went like 20 minutes longer than
I think it actually went. The whole thing was, I think, 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, they went way over what they normally do, and they were still going after USA cut away.
Yes, because they wanted to drive people to the network, because so much of their business now is actually having people go to the network and getting their pay-per-views from the network and such.
Right. Okay, well, I definitely want to talk about the WWE Network, but let's talk about what happened with Titus O'Neil. I didn't realize anything had happened, and then I heard he was suspended for 90 days, and now it's 60 days. What was the incident? What got Titus O'Neil suspended, and is it a work or is it for real?
Oh, no, it's absolutely real. It was bizarre, because here is this wonderful 30 minutes of television with a guy, you know, basically pouring his heart out and saying goodbye to something that he truly loves. And, you know, after the show had went off the air, they told people, go to the network to see everything else. And you saw that the, you know, most of the roster was up on the stage, you know, applauding, you know, faces and heels, good guys and bad guys. And there's Vince McMahon in the middle, and right next to him is Titus O'Neil. And it's not like Titus O'Neil is a big star or anything like that. He's an entertaining figure. He, you know, once called me a goofy-looking fellow, but that's besides the point here. So, and I'll tell that story in a second. But anyway, so, you know, Vince is there, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, like, oh, everyone's there and such. So they sort of part ways so Brian and Brie can go to the back. And as Vince is starting to walk towards the back, Titus O'Neil sort of grabs his arm jokingly, and Vince pushes back on Titus. Yeah. Like, Vince looked. I don't want to say he looked out of it, because, you know, Vince is an older fellow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it definitely seemed an odd moment. But because this was on the network and was the last thing people seed, like, most of my Twitter, you know, friends were like, oh, what did I just see?
Yeah.
You know, because it sort of, you know, capped off. So he basically went to SmackDown yesterday and was told that he was being suspended. And it seems like he handled it okay, because that was really something. I mean, I think that just the general lesson here, Nick, is never really grab your boss.
Yeah.
That's just good for anything, let alone pro wrestling.
Well, you know, I didn't see it. I didn't see it on the, I don't have, and I know that you're going to smack me in the head. I don't have the WWE network. And I realize that that's a mistake as a wrestling fan, but I just find that if I did have it, I would not watch anything else.
You'd be calling off the show again.
Yeah, no, I would
be
just
sitting there saying, you know, like,
yeah. No, I can't do the show. Hey, I can't do the show tonight, Dan. I've got to watch WrestleMania 4. So
why pick 4?
I don't know. It was the first one that popped into my. Why pick 4? Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, what was it?
4 was the one where they did the world title tournament, and I remember being excited about it for a kid, because when you go to rent it from the video store, it would have been 2 VHS.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't the best of shows.
No, okay, I'm sorry. It just popped into my head, Keith.
Okay. I threw you off your game here, didn't I, Nick?
Okay. WrestleMania 20. How about that one?
That's a fine one. Is it the edited one because of Benoit? Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's not talk about that one. Yeah. All right. Boy, I'm really putting my foot in my mouth when it comes to WrestleMania. But anyway, so I did not see it, but I did see the story afterwards, and I saw the incident. Like, it's been you know, of course, it's made into a GIF now, of course.
Yes, of course.
And so I watched it, and I didn't really see what Titus O'Neil did that was so wrong, and I thought Vince just kind of flew off the handle unexpectedly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, for everything that you know about Vince, I mean, from everything that's been reported about Vince, and I have this on good authority from friends of mine that work there, I've worked there, Vince McMahon, while being a great person, while being a man that really revolutionized this business, Vince has a few quirks. For instance, he doesn't like anyone sneezing at all around him. Like, basically, that's the one thing that a lot of people have said is, please don't sneeze around Vince, because he takes that as a sign of weakness, Nick.
All right, well, listen, Keith, hang on, all right?
Sure thing.
We got much more to talk about right here on 720 WGN. All right. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to be talking about the best cameos in movies and the best cameos in TV, like surprise cameos or the coolest cameos of all time. They're a lot of fun. We've got a list here of some great cameos, and we're going to go through that and then open up the phone lines and the text lines at 312-981-7200 for your favorite cameos. All that coming up and more. But right now we're talking with Keith Lipinski, who's a producer at AAW, AAWrestling.com. Great independent company doing wrestling here. And there's a show on February 19th. It's next Friday in Marionette Park. The doors open at 7:15. The bell is at 8 o'clock. And it's live pro wrestling right here in the Chicago area. And we welcome Keith back. Keith, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. And I also want to mention, though, also April 9th at Logan Square Auditorium, a big, huge show. We're going to be hopefully announcing some international talent for that very, very shortly.
All right. Awesome.
So definitely check out the Twitter, AAW Pro, or also like us on Facebook. Those are probably the two best places to go, because basically all wrestling promotion in 2016 is all done through social media.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much, it's taken over everything.
Pretty much everything is social media now. What am I talking about?
We use the social media media constantly to promote the show and talk about what we're going to be doing. And, you know, I mean, the Facebook, we have like close to 12,000 fans on our Facebook page. So it's a great way to get the word out. So,
indeed.
All right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the product that WWE is giving right now. They've got some guys who are, I mean, their roster is kind of hurting a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about that.
They definitely have had an injury plagued last few months.
Yeah.
You've had, you know, the Bryan Danielson retiring this week. But not only that, you've had a bunch of guys have gotten knocked down. Seth Rollins, who actually did a really fantastic job being a bad guy, a heel champion.
Let me tell you something, Keith. He was consistently, in my opinion, consistently the highlight every week on Raw.
Oh, absolutely.
Without question. He was one of the best heels and did such a great job. Yeah, and he busted Cena's nose.
you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Well, he plastered Cena's nose across his face. That was pretty cool. No, I'm kidding. I mean, but it was incredibly painful to watch. And the fact that Cena, I got to say, I'm not a big Cena guy. But you know, but he finished off that match, and that is just that was pretty incredible. That was pretty incredible.
Yes, and it was a fantastic match. Yeah. Between Seth Rollins going down with his knee, John Cena going down with his shoulder, both guys won't be on WrestleMania this year, which is sort of a huge blow.
Yeah.
They've just had a lot of injuries over the last 6 months that have really sort of depleted the roster a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, it's good that they have such a young, vile champion like Triple H right now. Although I have to say that's of course an easy joke to make. I'll have to say I have enjoyed what they've done with him and Roman Reigns over the last, you know, 5 months or so.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you had to, you know, obviously. You had to know that he was going to be number 30 in the Rumble. I mean, who didn't see that coming?
I don't want to make a joke about Stevie Wonder here, but,
No,
it was pretty obvious, but it was well handled.
Yes, it was. I agree. And I mean, you know, Triple H is, you know, he's up there now for, you know, for a wrestler. He's up there in age, but that guy can still deliver, man. I mean, he's Triple H, for God's sake. He's one of the greatest of all time. So, what are you liking right now on WWE? What do you think are the strongest things that are happening?
I'm starting. Roman has grown on me. Roman Reigns has grown on me enough right now because I don't feel he's being forced down my throat or up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like last year, they definitely made the considerate effort to sit there and say, "Hey, here's our guy. He won the Royal Rumble. He's here with The Rock. Hey, he just beat Bryan Danielson, and Danielson's now, you know, like they did a really, you know, they sort of put back on making him so big than what he was, and I think that was well done. So I really like him. Kevin Owens, I think he's outstanding in so many different ways.
I agree.
In ring, he's good. Yeah. Yeah. On the mic, he's good. Yeah. On commentary, he's delightful. I mean, he really has been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, Kalisto, who actually used to, you know, live in the Chicagoland area, and wrestled around here and actually wrestled for AEW as well. You know, he is the U.S. champion right now, and he's always been entertaining to watch.
Yep.
So there's some really good guys right now in the WWE, and I enjoy Dean Ambrose for being the newest version of Roddy Piper.
Right. You know? That's exactly. Yeah, you're right. I like Dean Ambrose. I'm not as, you know, Roman Reigns still kind of rubs me the wrong way. But you mentioned Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens is great. I like the fact that that they bring Jericho back to feud with Styles. That seems to make a lot of sense to me.
It's weird because whenever Jericho leaves and comes back, I'm not as big of a fan each time he comes back. I don't know what it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with him. He's still very solid in the ring.
Yeah.
But he just seems to lose something every time he comes back. Having said that, I have enjoyed him and AJ, and I'm looking forward to watching them again tomorrow on SmackDown.
Yeah.
To me, AJ Styles, who recently came to the WWE after having a phenomenal, pun intended, 2015, you know, basically becoming the MVP of the wrestling world for stuff in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Right. Like, you know, I so far his run in the WWE has been fine at best, but yeah. I'm hoping for bigger things for him after the Jericho stuff is over with.
I agree with you. I agree. But I think it's a smart way to get him in there is to, you know, to have Jericho come back and let that feud. And, you know, the fact that, I mean, there's something to be said for Jericho for jobbing for him the first night, you know?
Of course.
that's the kind of pro that Jericho is, you know?
And I think also it's a way to get him accustomed to the WWE style.
Yeah.
And, you know, like just getting him some ring time with someone like Jericho, who is more of a ring general now because he's just been around forever, baby.
Right. Right. And he also knocked out the Miz's teeth, which I thought was pretty great.
You enjoyed that, you know. That was fun.
Yeah, that was great. So AJ is back. I got to tell you, man, I love the New Day. I love them.
New Day is fantastic.
And, you know, that's three guys right there. Well, maybe Kofi was over for a good period of time.
Yes. But he's been around forever.
You know,
there was that picture that was taken when Punk and Brian were the world champions.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Beth Phoenix and like all these people. And I think the only one that's the only two that are still there that are champions are, you know, like Kofi and Stardust.
Yeah, absolutely. But so Kofi's been around, but they've not used him as well. I mean, this is just an E and
Xavier Woods.
Yeah, Xavier. Those guys were, you know, they weren't really, you know, they weren't over. I mean, they tried to use these guys. But, man, this thing, this New Day thing, they're hilarious, man.
And it reminds me sort of like D-Generation X once, like, the, you know, Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg joined up.
Yeah.
But a lot funnier intentionally.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that they brought them together last year as a team. And people are just like sort of, okay, three guys are together. Great. But, like, they have just so much personality and charisma that they really, really make it work.
I don't know. Do you know whose idea the trombone was? Because that was just genius. Just give the guy a trombone, and it's hilarious. He held a funeral for his trombone.
It was a great funeral. I believe there was a tribute T-shirt also issued for that, Nick. So, you know, it was good. It was very good stuff. I like those guys a lot. My concern with them was this, that – in weeks where they were having lots of injuries, it seemed the show became New Day heavy, and nothing really kills something good than just seeing it on every single segment and having it plow to the ground.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I really like them. Now, what are your feelings on the Divas division and with Flair's daughter?
I'm not the biggest fan of the Charlotte, you know, I didn't like the last pay-per-view, Nick. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Royal Rumble.
Right.
They had, you know, Ric Flair's daughter with Ric Flair in her corner, and she's now, you know, bad. She is now the dirtiest player in
right.
the game.
I like the fact that she went heel. I do like that.
I do enjoy that, but the finish of this match, I don't know if you've heard about this yet. Flair got up on the apron, and he took his jacket off, and he sort of did like what a matador would do with you know, his coat,
right.
And that sort of distracted the girl and Becky Lynch, who's a fantastic worker.
She's great, yeah.
No, she's great. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Divas that they have there because they really showed us a lot of stuff. And next, my problem with the Divas division is the fact that last year they really had the chance to do something special with this whole Divas Revolution and just really didn't seem to go anywhere. But I really like – and Paige, I think Paige was also injured. But, I mean, like Sasha Banks is just such an incredible worker.
I think there's a lot of really great – I mean, I'm a huge fan of Paige. I love Paige. She's actually my favorite diva since Lita. I absolutely love Paige. But how much of this show on E! Dictates what they do – you know, like the Divas show on E, how much of that dictates the storylines on Raw and on SmackDown?
It not as much as you think. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of stuff behind the scenes, though, Nick, about Vince didn't necessarily want the Divas champion to be on Totally Divas, but of course Nikki Bella changed all of that.
Yeah.
So, but in general, what they'll end up doing is do a storyline from that, and then, you know, maybe during a Raw writers meeting, they'll sit there and say, oh, wait, we're doing this on the show this week. Okay, let's make a storyline out of that.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
it doesn't seem as strong, or it doesn't seem to have the corporate synergy you would have between,
right.
NBC, Universal, other, you know, productions that they have.
Okay. All right, listen, Keith, hang on, okay? We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about CM Punk's UFC debut that got delayed. I want to talk about Lucha Underground as well. Hold on, okay?
Sure thing.
All right, Keith Lipinski. I love talking pro wrestling. I get geeked out when I do. Dan, I think we got to have Keith on a little more often. I really do, because I just love talking pro wrestling. And I know a lot of my fans are huge wrestling fans, so I think we need to do that a little bit more regularly.
Yeah.
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Is it Thin Lizzy Thursday? Have we decided what Thursday it's going to be today?
We can make it Thin Lizzy Thursday.
Because Thin Lizzy Thursday went over really, really well. So I think we're going to do some Thin Lizzy Thursday. And, we got so many requests last time. Maybe the Thin Lizzy nuts are out and about, and we can jump into that in a little bit. We are also going to talk about the best and coolest cameos in movies and TV. We're going to get into that. But we've been talking pro wrestling, having a great time. We're talking with Keith Lipinski, a producer at AAW. The Art of War is their next event. It's on February 19th on Friday in Marriott Park. Get all the information at aawrestling.com. We have a link on our Facebook page, and we're just talking pro wrestling. Hey, Keith, welcome back, man.
Thanks, Nick. By the way, when you talk about cameos, you're going to mention Hulk Hogan and Gremlins 2, the new batch, right?
Oh, please. One of the greatest cameos in film history.
Fantastic.
I love that movie. Oh, my God, do I love that movie. So good. All right, let's talk about CM Punk and his UFC debut. He wants to come back. How do you feel?
Well, he wants to start. I mean,
he hasn't had a chance to start. That's
yet.
Right. He hasn't even started yet. How do you feel about the whole Punk situation? With him leaving WWE and then and wants to make this debut with UFC. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I'm going to be selfish here. I wish he would have stuck with the pro wrestling, but I can understand him wanting to sort of broaden his horizons, because really he had done everything that he, set out to do and more in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He was WWE champion multiple times, just huge merchandise seller, more famous than he'll ever be. And I think he wanted another challenge, and I think he was just sort of, there's only so much that you can take of your boss before you just sit there and say, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And he had that level. The only problem is, ever since then, I mean, he had the shoulder issue, which delayed his start in the octagon, and now he's going to be having back surgery, I believe, today. So he's had one issue after another. I mean, he is older for a UFC fighter, but it's something he's really passionate about. I was curious to see how he would do.
I mean, he's pushing 40, right? I mean, he's like 37, 38.
I don't want to get it incorrect and have someone on Twitter yell at me.
Or have him yell at me. I don't know.
Okay.
So I think he's 37.
Let's call him 37.
Let's say he's 37. Okay. But that's, and a lot of these MMA fighters are a lot younger than 37. I wonder if that's a concern.
Oh, it is. I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, this is, MMA is sort of a young man's sport, and usually if they're a little bit older, they've been around for a while and know a little bit more and are focused in multiple disciplines, That's not necessarily the case sometimes, And he's 37, Nick.
Oh, he's 37. Okay, see?
So we were close.
Now, what's going on with AJ Lee?
I think AJ Lee is just, I know she has a t-shirt, pro wrestling tees is a Chicago business that basically they print a lot of wrestler tees.
Yeah.
And I believe that she has a special tee out for the Paws charity in Chicago. So I think she's just very happy being retired as well, because I think she was sort of done with that whole wrestling thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
All
right. Well, let's talk about Lucha Underground, which is probably the best wrestling show on television right now.
Easily.
It is tremendous. And the talent that they have is extraordinary. Tell everybody about Lucha Underground. It's on El Rey Network.
It's on the loveliest El Rey Network.
And I love El Rey Network. But here's the thing that pisses me off, Keith. It's not in HD.
That is true.
You can't get El Rey in HD. It makes me nuts, because the programming that Rodriguez is doing is so great. I mean, for Christmas, he showed 48 hours of Godzilla movies. It's fantastic. So Lucha Underground, tell everybody about it.
Lucha Underground is a story. It's professional wrestling that's told more as a story than anything else. That there's basically a narrative throughout the show. You know, don't get me wrong, there's professional wrestling matches, but the stuff that they shoot outside and the stuff that the storylines that they tell are sometimes shot beautifully like it was a movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say AEW, which, you know, we have a show coming up next week, is also guilty of this, where if we shoot something behind the scenes, it's usually someone talking to a camera.
Yeah.
When they shoot stuff, it's usually two guys in the heat of battle, or, you know, people, basically stuff that progresses storylines.
Yeah.
You know, like the season premiere 2 weeks ago had a guy that was being freed from an insane asylum. And as the doctor was talking about his medication, he sort of snapped and went all crazy and started beating people down. And it literally looked like something you would see out of a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're running short on time. Talk about some of the best talent that they have.
Pentagon Jr., without a doubt, is one of the most charismatic guys around. He faced actually Chris Hero at our big Windy City Classic event in November, and we're hoping to get him back again sometime this year.
Yeah.
Just incredible charisma, just a wonderful, wonderful human being. As well, it was hard to pick him up from the airport without seeing him with a mask on. But him and Phoenix is a wonderful high flyer. They just really have oodles of talent right now, Nick. I mean, it's something where they took a lot of the great talent that's out there that wasn't under a deal with one of the big companies, and they signed him up. And they've done very well where they've given people characters and ideas, and even like guys where maybe they wouldn't be marketable other places, they've given them a voice box, and all of a sudden they become something new.
And Del Rio did a really nice run there.
Johnny Mundo has been a lot of fun there.
And Prince Puma,
Ricochet, also better known as Ricochet, who will be, I believe, on one of our upcoming shows as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good talent there.
And so Vampiro.
It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Vampiro. And I can't, you speaking of thunder, I can't see Vampiro without hearing, Vampiro!
Vampiro! Vampiro! actually, speaking of that, Nick, on my Twitter today, someone had shared with me a montage of Canyon, our good friend, Chris Canyon. There was a period of time where he was emulating Diamond Dallas Page and hitting everyone with Canyon cutters. It's 10 minutes of that, Nick, and it's without a doubt one of the greatest videos of all time.
That's
you definitely check out Keith Lipinski on the Twitter, and you'll see it. I believe I posted it earlier on this morning.
All right, Keith Lipinski on Twitter. Follow him there, and that's Lipinski, Keith Lipinski.
Correct.
Great talking with you, man. We're going to have you on more often.
Sure thing.
Yeah, and so it's AAWrestling.com. The next event is next Friday the 19th in Marionette Park, and tickets are available. Keith, always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Enjoy your Thin Lizzy Thursday here on WAF.
That's right, man. Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Keith Lipinski, everybody. Talking pro wrestling, one of my favorite topics to talk about. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got the news coming up. And after the news, what are the greatest and coolest and most surprising cameos in movies and television? That's coming up right here on WGN.